Front cover of Vision Access. Descriptions. The cover page features a diamond-shaped gray background with a logo prominently centered in the middle with the words Council of Citizens with low vision above the logo. The logo represents CCLVI, a special interest affiliate of the American Council of the Blind, and is designed with a pair of glasses. Notably, one lens on the glasses has been replaced with a globe, symbolizing global vision and perspective. The other lens is illustrated with a cross-section pointing at the globe, emphasizing detailed observation and insight. The glasses frame is formed into an infinity symbol, suggesting endless possibilities and continuous improvement in vision and understanding. In the bottom left corner of the diamond-shaped background, there is a QR code positioned to provide easy access to additional information or resources related to CCLVI and low vision. Below the QR code, it reads, Vision Access, Volume 32, Number 3, August 2025.
Table of Contents. 1. President's Message. 2. CCLVI Annual Business Meeting. Recap. 3. 2025 to 2026. CCLVI Board of Directors. 4. 2025. CCLVI Awards Recipients. 5. A Tribute to Alexa Poli Scheigert. 6. Meet the 2025 Scheigert Scholarship Winners. 7. CCLVI at the 2025 ACB Conference and Convention. 8. News from the Genenensky/Foley Award Committee. 9. Affiliates Corner. 10. CCLVI Book Club. 11. Kentucky Talking Book Library. 12. Message from Scout. 13. The Kitchen Corner. 14. Summertime Hacks for the Beach or Pool. 15. Red Light Therapy. Glasses, A New Hope for Aging Eyes. 16. Calendar of Events. 17. Join CCLVI's email lists. 18. Contact CCLVI. 19. CCLVI Officers and Directors.
President's Message by Patty Cox. A fabulous convention. The convention did not disappoint. CCLVI started with our virtual convention. On Thursday of virtual week, we had a great speaker, Dr. Joern Soltau, who talked to us about different eye diseases and the research that he and his team are doing. Audience members asked questions about their individual eye disease and Andishik eyes, and whether there are new developments that might give them more vision or vision for a longer period of time. On Saturday of the virtual convention, we had our business meeting with reports from our committee chairs. We considered 3 constitution and bylaw changes. All of them passed. We held elections, all were incumbents, and all were reelected. The in-person convention was also a great success. We met new people who have low vision. All 4 of the scholarship winners attended, and it was so great to meet them. We had 3 in-person sessions, the dance, a craft-making event, and game night. An additional session was held in a hybrid format. At that event, Sandy Owens knocked it out of the park. She led a session on using different apps that can help you with either your daily living or as a small business owner. In my opinion, there is nothing like an in-person convention. Meeting people face-to-face that you've never met, except on Zoom or by phone, is very special. Having dinner with others, either new acquaintances or old friends, is a special time. These times bring us closer together and feel more like a big family. I'm looking forward to the next year in CCLVI. It will be really busy. Some of our future tasks are, 1. Setting a timeline for the rebranding project. 2. Assigning new projects to committees. 3. Tasking committees with improving those projects that we have every year. If you are interested in joining any of our committees, from advocacy to public relations and beyond, do not hesitate to contact me at pattycacb@gmail.com. Let me know what you are interested in, and I will get you connected to a committee chair. The complete list is on our website at ccclvi.info/leadership/committees. We need you as members to be involved and to lead this organization through the work of our committees.
CCLVI Annual Business Meeting Recap. CCLVI's annual business meeting was held virtually on June 28, 2025. A review of the year was presented by each committee, and elections were held for 2 officers and 3 directors with the following results. Bullet First Vice President, 1-year term, Zelda Gebhard. Bullet Treasurer, 2-year term, Debbie Persons. Bullet Director 1, 2-year term, Joyce Feinberg. Bullet Director 3, 2-year term, Cynthia Hawkins. Bullet Director 5, 2-year term, Diana Leonard. Constitutional Amendment 5.4, Terms and Term Limits. Section 5, Election of Officers and Directors. Purpose: the amendment moves the election of the first vice president from odd years to even years to align with the election of president. Whether the president has termed out or has chosen not to seek re-election, having the election for the president and first vice president at the same time may create a better transition. Constitutional Amendment 5.4 passed. Bylaw Amendments 2.2. Life Membership. Purpose. This bylaw lowers the amount of life membership from $300 with up to 3 yearly payments to a one-time payment of $150. Bylaw Amendment 2.2. Passed 3.0. Standing Committee's Duties and Responsibilities. Purpose? This amendment creates easier accessibility by alphabetizing the standing committees. It also includes additional information in the description of the Janensky-Foley Committee by including a phrase about Carl Foley, thus providing more consistent reference to both namesakes of the committee. Bylaw Amendment 3.0 passed.
2025 to 2026. CCLVI Board of Directors, Patty Cox, President. A picture displays a middle-aged woman with curly reddish-brown hair, wearing rectangular glasses, smiling, and looking to the side. Patty Cox is president of CCLVI and the Kentucky Council of the Blind. She is a third-generation member of 4 of ACB and a second-generation member of CCLVI. She grew up in a family with grandparents and a mother who was totally blind and a father who was visually impaired. She has one brother who has retired from the Air Force. Patty lives in Louisville, Kentucky, with her husband, children, and grandchildren. She has aneurysm, which is the absence of the iris. She is a high partial and a bioptic driver. One of her goals in life is to help anyone and everyone with their vision loss journey. Zelda Gebhard, First Vice President. A picture displays a middle-aged woman with short white hair, wearing a blue top and a matching blue statement necklace. She is smiling and looking at the camera. Zelda Gebhard of rural Edgeley, North Dakota, is a dedicated advocate for people with vision loss. Diagnosed with Stargardt's at 34, Zelda turned personal challenges into opportunities for service. A retired medical transcriptionist and healthcare administrator, she is now a full-time volunteer with the North Dakota Association of the Blind, the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International, and the American Council of the Blind, and serves in numerous leadership roles. Her faith and family are her cornerstones. She enjoys cooking, gardening, sewing, and reading. Her journey reflects resilience, gratitude, and a passion for helping others live fully with vision loss. Terry Pacheco, Second Vice President. A picture displays an older woman with short white hair, wearing a black sleeveless top, smiling warmly against a dark background. Terry Pacheco is the second vice president of CCLVI and co-chair of the E-Communications Committee. She has had low vision all her life, and her husband is totally blind. Their son also has low vision due to Agent Orange exposure by his birth father in Vietnam. Their vision experiences run the gambit. She first joined CCLVI in 1979 and helped start its first two local chapters. Since that time, she has served in several positions, both in ACB and its affiliated organizations, and she currently serves on the ACB Board of Directors. Melanie Sinowi, Secretary of Picture, displays a woman with long brown hair and glasses, wearing a black and white houndstooth pattern jacket and a black top, smiling against dark background. Melanie Sinowi has been involved in ACB since the mid-1990s in Texas, West Virginia, California, and Arizona. She was elected as a director for ACB of Texas at age 19 and was the 2005 DKM first-timer for the West. She resides in Phoenix and is president of the Arizona Council of the Blind. She is secretary and publications chair of the Council of Citizens with Low Vision, vice chair of the ACB Durward K. McDaniel Fund Committee, and a member of ACB's Employment and Media Support Committees. Melanie holds a BA in Journalism, Public Relations, and an MS in Project Management. She is currently a senior process engineer at Wells Fargo. Melanie and her husband enjoy cooking, traveling, wine tasting, and spending time with family. Debbie Persons, Treasurer. A picture displays an older woman with short blonde hair and glasses, wearing a blue blazer over a white collared shirt, smiling at the camera. Debbie Persons grew up in rural southern Indiana. In school, she was an award-winning track star, participated in many 4-H horse competitions, and was a cheerleader. Debbie attended college at Indiana State University. She became a certified emergency medical technician and later worked in medical offices for decades. She was church treasurer for many years. She became involved with the Kentucky Council of the Blind in 2008 when the ACB convention was in Louisville. Debbie has albinism and is a bioptic driver and appreciates the inventor of the monocular and word processing programs that allow the use of large print. Her favorite pastime is researching genealogy. Leslie Spoon, immediate past president. A picture displays a middle-aged woman with dark hair and a braided bun, wearing a glittery visor, a purple polo shirt, a gold necklace, and hoop earrings, smiling in a conference room. Leslie Spoon has lived in Orlando, Florida for 28 years with her husband Dan Spoon and has retinitis pigmentosa, RP, a degenerative eye disease that leads to blindness. She had usable vision for most of her life and appreciated the support she received from CCLVI. She was second vice president of CCLVI from 2014 to 2016 and president from 2016 to 2018. She is a certified aerobics instructor and certified personal trainer. She teaches exercise classes on the ACB community since the community started in 2020. She offers classes in yoga, resistance, cardio, and circuit each week. She owned a women's gym for 5 years in Orlando, where she taught classes, was a personal trainer, and learned a lot about relationships. Joyce Feinberg, Director Number 1. Joyce Feinberg began her career in medical technology, later becoming a technical specialist for a leading equipment manufacturer. She lost her vision due to undiagnosed diabetes, but adapted and thrived. Since joining the American Council of the Blind in 2003, she has contributed extensively to its affiliates, especially after the pandemic. Now active with the ACB media team, she edits and posts audio content and volunteers with CCLVI, building accessible websites and supporting community engagement. Kathy Farina, Director Number 2. A picture displays an older woman with short light brown hair and glasses, wearing a yellow shirt, sitting in an office chair and looking at the camera. Kathy Farina is retired, married, and lives in Albany, New York with her husband and two guide dogs. She has been legally blind since birth. Although she has been a member of the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International since the mid-1990s, she first got actively involved in 2012 when she joined the Fred Scheigert Scholarship Committee. She has served in various positions on the CCLVI board since 2016 and is currently chair of the CCLVI Fundraising Committee. Cynthia G. Hawkins, Esquire, Director Number 3. A picture displays a smiling woman with long blonde brown dreadlocks, wearing a black top, standing outdoors with grass and a road in the background. Cynthia Hawkins has been involved in CCLVI since losing much of her usable vision in 2016 due to a surgical emergency. She was born with low vision due to prematurity. She is the past chair of the CCLVI Constitution and Bylaws Committee and remains a committee member. She also serves on the Publications Committee. Cynthia is the current second vice president and board member of the American Association of Visually Impaired Attorneys, AAVIA, a member of the ACB Resolutions Committee, and a former board member and secretary of the Guide Dog Users International, GDUI. She grew up in Washington, D.C., and currently splits her time between Florida and New York with her son and her guide dog venture. She has recently retired from a lengthy and successful career as an attorney, judge, and law professor. In her newfound spare time, Cynthia enjoys latch hooking, quilting, audiobooks, word games, and is learning to crochet. Paul Lewis, Director Number 4. A picture displays a middle-aged man with short dark hair. He is wearing rectangular black glasses and is wearing a red and white checkered shirt over a blue t-shirt. He is smiling warmly. Paul Lewis is a baby boomer who grew up in the D.C. metro area and in 1991 relocated to Southwest Florida. In the early 80s, he was diagnosed with diabetes, the cause of most of his medical issues, including vision loss. In 2008, he joined the local ACB affiliate and attended his first state convention. It was there that he first became a member of CCLVI and its Florida affiliate. It was important to him to become part of an organization dedicated to the low vision community. Since that time, he has been part of the leadership team and committees. He currently chairs the Constitution, Bylaws, and Resolutions Committee. Paul is a committed and dedicated member of FCCLV and CCLVI. Diana Leonard, Director Number 5. A picture displays a smiling woman with short, curly black hair, wearing a red floral top and gray cardigan, seated indoors on a patterned chair with a framed wall decor and a globe in the background. Diana Leonard has been visually impaired since birth due to retinopathy of prematurity. She grew up in Massachusetts and has a Bachelor of Arts degree in English and Communications and several years of professional experience in copy editing and social media marketing. In her spare time, Deanna runs a rapidly growing gaming channel on YouTube. She also enjoys reading and has been working on writing a young adult fiction novel. For physical activity, she enjoys swimming, yoga, and going for walks, and has a background in martial arts and figure skating when she was younger. Donna Williams, Director Number 6. Donna Williams lives near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She was born with cataracts in both eyes and now has glaucoma. One of her passions is helping others. She has volunteered for and held various jobs at nonprofit organizations serving the disability community. In her spare time, she is all about books, music, and playing games with family and friends. She has been a life member of CCLVI for many years and currently serves as chair of the Janensky Foley Magnification Award Committee. She also serves on the CCLVI Scholarship, Membership, and E-Communications Committees.
2025 CCLVI Awards Recipients by Jeannie Struhar and Zelda Gebhard. The CCLVI Awards Committee is proud to announce the recipients of the 2025 CCLVI Awards: Glenda Such, CCLVI, Bernice Kandarian Service Award. A picture displays a woman with short dark hair and hoop earrings is standing in front of a white door. She is wearing a dark floral patterned shirt and has a gentle, contented expression on her face. looking slightly to the side. Glenda Such of Yardley, Pennsylvania, has been a dedicated member of CCLVI since 1985 and has served in numerous leadership roles, including president of Low Vision Now, an affiliate of CCLVI. With over 39 years of experience in vision rehabilitation and assistive technology, her impact spans advocacy, education, and innovation. Glenda has also served on the FDA's Ophthalmologic Devices Panel, championing the needs of consumers nationwide. Her lifelong commitment to advancing services and opportunities for people with low vision makes her truly deserve this honor. Glenda's passion for helping to empower people with low vision stems from an early personal experience. She possesses the desire to support others and teach them to do what they don't know they can do. Outside her volunteer work, Glenda's interests include nature photography, pencil sketching, and fencing. Zelda Gebhard, CCLVI, Bernice Kandarian Service Award. Our second 2025 Bernice Kandarian Award recipient is Zelda Gebhard of Edgeley, North Dakota. Zelda is a dedicated advocate for people with vision loss. Diagnosed with Stargardt's at age 34, Zelda turned personal challenges into opportunities for service. She serves in numerous leadership roles, including First Vice President of CCLVI, Chair of both the Membership and Credentials Committees, and is a member of several other committees. Zelda's volunteer work does not stop there. She is actively involved with the North Dakota Association of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind. In her spare time, Zelda enjoys cooking, gardening, sewing, and reading. Faith and family are her cornerstone. Her journey reflects resilience, gratitude, and a passion for helping others live fully with vision loss. Zelda's greatest inspiration for serving is the phone calls she receives from people newly experiencing vision loss. Talking to them, providing encouragement, and letting them know they are not alone is what gives Zelda purpose. What keeps her continuously giving of herself for so many years and in so many ways. Zelda states, "Knowing I helped someone and made it a little easier for them, that's my pay." Alexa Scheigert, Friend of CCLVI Award. We are honored to posthumously recognize Alexa Scheigert with the Friend of CCLVI Award. A life member of CCLVI and longtime supporter through the New York State Council of Citizens with Low Vision, Alexa was the widow of Fred Scheigert and carried forward his legacy with heartfelt dedication. Following Fred's passing, she generously funded the Fred Scheigert scholarships, expanding the number of recipients and ensuring their future through a planned estate gift. Her unwavering commitment and generosity will continue to transform the lives of individuals with low vision for years to come.
A tribute to Alexa, Polly Scheigert by Patty Cox. A picture displays a woman with brown hair pulled back playfully, looks up at a monkey perched on her shoulder. She is wearing bangling beaded earrings, a necklace, and a dark top. She also has a colorful tattoo on her upper arm. The monkey appears to gaze intently at her, and they appear to make eye contact. Alexa Polly Scheigert lost her battle with cancer on January 11, 2025. She was raised in Queens, New York. She and Fred Scheigert were married on August 17, 2013, and lived in Saratoga Springs, New York. Fred, for many years, provided CCLVI with $3,000 scholarships for those with low vision to aid in attending college. After Fred's passing, Alexa made certain the scholarships continued and even increased the number of scholarships. Over the past few years, I got to know Alexa, and we became friends. Last year, Melanie and I had the opportunity to meet Alexa in person. It was a short visit, but a wonderful one. It was great to be able to spend a bit of time speaking with such a fantastic person. Alexa, you are a special person and will be greatly missed.
Meet the 2025 Scheigert Scholarship winners. Leanne Kreisat, freshman. A picture displays a young woman with long, straight, dark hair and dark-rimmed glasses is looking slightly to the side with a calm, thoughtful expression. She is wearing a light brown top with subtle decorative pattern and a gold necklace. Leanne Kreisat resides in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This fall, she will be an incoming freshman at Duquesne University, double majoring in finance and accounting. She plans to pursue her CPA and build a career in the business world. Outside of academics, she enjoys volunteering and community service. In her free time, she loves reading, listening to music, and baking. She is also a strong advocate for the blind and visually impaired community. She hopes to continue working with organizations that empower the blind and visually impaired and to contribute to their mission through her own efforts. Noor Kreisat, undergraduate. Noor Kreisat lives in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She is double majoring in political science and history at the University of Pittsburgh because she believes in the power of policy to create tangible and lasting change. Her passion for these fields is deeply rooted in her lived experiences as a blind student and as an advocate for accessibility. Daniel Solomon, undergraduate. A picture displays a young man with curly reddish-brown hair and round glasses is smiling at the camera. He is wearing a blue suit, a light blue shirt, and a textured tie. The background is filled with green foliage. Daniel Solomon, a Miami native, is a junior at Brown University, concentrating in urban studies and political science. An advocate for civil rights, the arts, and education, Solomon serves as president of the American Jewish Committee AJC Campus Global Board, an international advisory council on anti-Semitism and democracy. Legally blind since birth, Daniel is creator and project director of the Blind Urban Subject, through which he created Civic Vision, 2024, an interactive public art installation developed at Brown and RISD. The exhibition, an urban simulation of common forms of blindness, debuted in June 2025 in New York City's Soho neighborhood. Mohamed Sohaib, graduate. Mohamed Sohaib is a dedicated educator, disability rights advocate, and PhD student in special education at the University of North Texas. With over a decade of experience in accessibility, inclusive education, and community leadership, Sohaib is committed to advancing opportunities for individuals with visual impairments. His academic work focuses on inclusive language education and assistive technology for visually impaired learners. Outside the classroom, he is an avid mountaineer, hiker, and traveler, challenging perceptions about what blind individuals can achieve. A former Fulbright foreign language teaching assistant, Sohaib also brings a passion for cultural exchange and language teaching. His aspiration is to build a world where accessibility is not a privilege, but a right, and where every student, regardless of ability, can thrive, explore, and achieve their full potential in education and beyond. A picture displays a man with a neatly groomed beard and short dark hair is smiling warmly at the camera. He is wearing glasses, a light beige vest over a white dress shirt, and a pink patterned tie. He is holding a matching beige suit jacket over one arm. The background features a wooded outdoor setting with wooden beams and trees.
CCLV iPhotos at the 2025 ACB Conference and Convention. Photo number one, a photo displays. A group of people of various ages is gathered on the dance floor in a large, well-lit room with colorful, abstract wall art. Some individuals are dancing, while others observe. Photo number two, a photo displays Tim Stone smiling while sitting on a chair in a large room with patterned carpet. He is wearing a white polo shirt, shorts, and sneakers. A white rope is loosely draped around his shoulders after he was lassoed during a game at the Western-themed dance. Photo number three, a photo displays Patty Cox, on the left, and Leslie Spoon, right, presenting Zelda Gebhard, center, with the Bernice Kendarian Service Award. Photo number four, a photo displays Niral Sheth and Carl Richardson standing at opposite ends of a table with their hands flat, ready to buzz in, while Patty Cox stands between them hosting this year's Family Feud game.
News from the Janenski Foley Award Committee. By Donna Williams, Chair. The Janenski Foley Award Committee is pleased to share the following information with you. This year, instead of giving out iPads, the committee sought donations of magnification devices. We were fortunate to receive 7 donations, 14 applications, and awarded 3 devices. The Clearview CCTV donated by Envision Dallas was awarded to Lucia Mueller from Goshen, Ohio. The Mono 6 handheld electronic magnifier donated by C-Tech Low Vision was awarded to Patricia Koch from West Lafayette, Ohio. The 32X HD video magnifier donated by Terry Pacheco was awarded to Mason Tornes from Tomball, Texas. The remaining donations will be awarded in the coming years. Below, you will find a brief bio for each recipient. 2 of our recipients were minors, and their parents submitted information on their behalf. Lucia Mueller, from Lucia's mother, Laura. Lucia is a 15-year-old girl from Goshen, Ohio, who was born with a rare eye condition that causes low vision. Lucia was thrilled to be selected as a recipient of a CCTV device, a gift that will help her tremendously. One of Lucia's favorite hobbies is photography and scrapbooking. She loves capturing special moments with her family and friends, then turning them into beautiful scrapbook pages. Thanks to the CCTV, she can now enjoy this hobby more independently and in greater detail. Lucia is also an avid reader and now has access to even the smallest print. In addition to reading, Lucia enjoys watercolor painting and playing both the piano and guitar. She's excited to explore how the CCTV will enhance her experience with these activities as well. This device will provide her with endless possibilities, and we will be forever grateful. Mason Tornes, from Mason's father, Brandon. Mason was born into this world a healthy baby, to his 2 loving parents and older sister. At 6 days old, Mason and his family's life changed in a way that they never dreamed of. Mason's parents got a phone call from the Colorado Children's Hospital saying that there was something identified through his newborn blood screening. They determined that he had a rare genetic metabolic disorder called cobalamin C. With cobalamin C, doctors typically see cognitive delays, speech issues, macular degeneration, and several other issues. Shortly thereafter, they confirmed he had macular degeneration. We let Mason try everything he's interested in, and we just accommodate as needed. He's been a baseball all-star with the Miracle League and is currently an Arrow of Light Webelo in his local Cub Scout pack. Mason struggles reading books at home and at school. This new tool will be a great way for him to read amazing stories about his favorite characters such as Mario and Luigi, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Lego Ninjago. Making it easier to read will expand his skills and knowledge, as well as helping him become more independent in life. Thank you so much! Patricia Koch. Patricia Koch is a self-employed certified vision rehabilitation therapist from West Lafayette, Ohio. She is currently a doctoral candidate. Patricia's low vision was caused by retinopathy of prematurity. Receiving a handheld video magnifier will allow her to read on the go as she works on research projects and continues her education. See CLV iBook Club. August 2025. The Measure, a novel. Bullet author, Eric Nicky. Bullet book. Number, DB109475. Bullet reading time, 11 hours, 3 minutes. Bullet narrated by Julie Whelan. Bard description. 8 ordinary people. 1 extraordinary choice. When you open your door, waiting for you is a small wooden box. This box holds your fate inside. The answer to the exact number of years you will live. Please see the calendar of events at the end of this publication for meeting information.
Kentucky Talking Book Library. By Evan Hatter, Information Officer 2, Talking Book Library. The Kentucky Talking Book Library, KTBL, was founded in 1969 to serve people throughout the Commonwealth of Kentucky with print disabilities, including low vision. KTBL is a network library of the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled, which is a part of the Library of Congress. We provide free audio and braille book service to any person within the state of Kentucky who is certified to have a visual disability, like low vision, a physical disability that would prevent someone from holding a book or turning the pages, or even a reading disability like dyslexia. Our collection is similar to a public library, spanning a wide variety of books for all ages and interests. We have more than 125,000 titles in audio and 20,000 in braille, ranging from cookbooks and health books to children's books and national bestsellers. In Kentucky, we have an audio recording studio where we record local books by, about, and for Kentuckians. We also invite local authors such as Kentucky Poet Laureate Kathleen Driscoll, Brian Collier, Kim Michelle Richardson, and Frank X. Walker to record their works in our studio. Patrons who sign up for Talking Books may receive their audiobooks on cartridge through the mail, or they can choose to download them onto their personal device using the Braille and Audio Reading Download BARD mobile application. Additionally, we have a lively and well-attended virtual book club that meets every month with patrons from every corner of the state. While our program serves the folks in Kentucky, all U.S. citizens, including Puerto Rico, Guam, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and citizens living abroad, have access to these materials through their state's regional or sub-regional libraries. For more information, visit https://www.loc.gov/nls/findyourlibrary/.
Message from Scout by Cheryl McNeil Fisher. A photo shows a close-up of a fluffy, light reddish-brown, called Fox Red dog, with a wavy coat. The puppy has a sweet expression, with dark eyes and a black nose. He is resting his head on a person's arm, creating an image of a warm, happy feeling. Hi, friends. Scout here. Guess what? I turned 1 year old on July 13th. Cheryl says I'm a natural swimmer. And boy, am I having a blast. Instead of just telling you how Cheryl introduced me to the pool, we're sharing an excerpt from Surprise Sammy. It's Your Birthday, The Adventure of a Guide Dog Team, written with a seventh grader. Excerpt, Here I Come. I cry as I leap into the pool by the stairs. Splash. I do my doggy paddle a bit, then I remember what Cindy taught me. I use my long strokes, keeping my paws under the water. Stroke. Stroke. I glide over to Nellie. Daisy hurries out of the pool for another jump. And here comes Bella down the tunnel slide. Whee! Splash. Bella comes up sputtering. Here you go, Bella, says Frank. He slips afloat under Bella. Bella smiles and sighs. I love that guy. You're a good swimmer, Sammy, says Nellie. Thanks. My Cindy taught me. Really? Asks Nellie. How did she teach you to swim? Asks Bella. When we first started, I was pretty shaky. Cindy would hold me against her, allowing me to put all four of my paws on her legs while she crouched in the low end of the pool. Her encouragement and calmness made my fear of the water begin to lessen. Tell them how she accomplished that, Sammy, Max calls from the side of the pool. She would patiently hold me, allowing me to perch on her legs while she crouched in the pool. We'd stay like that for about 5 minutes, with Cindy talking softly to me the entire time. Then she would wrap her arms around my belly. As soon as my paws began to splash on top of the water, she pulled me down just enough to get my paws back under the water. With patience and encouragement, she helped me see how much easier it is to swim with my paws under the surface of the water. Each day we practiced 5 times. Then we had playtime. Cindy tossed my toy in the water for me to fetch. It has taken a few weeks to get the hang of not just paddling underwater, but swimming long strokes. "Why is swimming with your paws underwater so important, Sammy?" asks Duke. "It's less tiring, Duke." When Cindy would toss a toy in for me, I loved jumping in to get it, but I'd panic. I'd snatch the toy in my teeth, then splash paddle like crazy back to the stairs to get out. I wanted to do it again and again, but I wiped myself out because I splashed so hard. And I never went in the deep end. No way. I used to watch Cindy's retired guide dog, Greg, glide through the water. He was so graceful. I longed to swim like him. Greg was able to stay in the water, having fun with Cindy and her friends. "Wow, Sammy, that is awesome. Did Cindy teach you how to put your front legs over the noodle so you could float?" Nelly asked. "Yes. It also has helped to build my confidence in the water." "Whoa, Sammy, that is really awesome," adds Bella. "Did Mark show you how to use the noodle too, Daisy?" "He sure did. I get to stay in longer when I use the noodle to rest and hang out." "Do you think Cindy could teach Duke to swim?" Nelly asks. "Not sure. What do you think, Duke?" "I don't think so, Sammy. Besides, I really have no interest in swimming. I'm happy laying on that first step over there. It's just enough water to cool me off while watching my friends have fun." End of excerpt. Now back to me, Scout. I was a natural, and by the 3rd day, I was leaping in, grabbing my toy, and swimming around with Cheryl and Ed. Then Cheryl would encourage me to head to the stairs for a break. I hop out, shake off, drop the toy in Cheryl's hand, and I'm ready to go again. I think a 15-second break is plenty, don't you? Safety first. I can jump from the 3rd step into the pool or slip in with my smooth labradoodle glide. But I always use the stairs and stay away from the sides. Cheryl says we don't want to scratch the liner. After all, I'm a smart pup. I also have to be extra careful with my Cheryl. She had an operation and had some other stuff going on, so we make sure pool time is safe and playful. And yes, it's also obedience training. I'm getting better every day. I love to zip around the house and jump, but when Cheryl calls me, I race to her, snuggle up to her left leg, and give her my best, "Yes, look, we wish you a safe, splashy summer, and we'll see you in our next update. Positively yours, Scout." The Kitchen Corner. Knife Safety. Know Where Your Sharps Are. By Deborah Erickson, Master of Science, Executive Chef and Founder, The Blind Kitchen. Keeping track of knives, scissors, peelers, and other sharp kitchen tools is a priority as one cooks. This is especially true if people who share a kitchen do not share vision loss. One tip to make sure both the blind and sighted cooks are safe is to have a predictable system of where the sharp tools will be kept, both when dirty and clean. In the blind kitchen, any sharp that is not in use at the time is placed in a long thin basket at the top of the work area. Another basket is at the back of the sink, so if the sharp tool is dirty, it can safely wait for a time to be cleaned and never left in the bottom of a sink or on a counter.
Summertime Hacks for the Beach or Pool by Cheryl McNeil Fisher. Here are a few quick summer tips you'll be glad you know. Let us start with a beach essential: baby powder and a glove. Trust me, this is a fast, easy way to get all that clingy sand off before you head home. I also always use a large tote bag, which makes it easier to carry everything in one trip instead of juggling multiple bags. Inside the bottom of my tote, I place 1 or 2 square gift boxes, the kind that are about 3 inches wide and come with a lid. They are the perfect size to hold my Contigo travel mugs, and yes, I often have 1 hot and 1 cold. These boxes are also great for keeping sunscreen and lotions upright and leak-free. Another tote essential? A purse organizer. The small pockets are ideal for lip balm with SPF, mini lotions, wipes, and all those little odds and ends. I also use zip-top bags to group similar items together. It makes everything easier to find and keeps your tote from turning into a black hole. And then there's those inexpensive plastic shower curtain rings. They may not look like much, but these little clips are super handy. Use them to keep your towel in place by clipping the towel to the top of your beach chair. It stops the breeze from blowing it off every 5 minutes. You can also clip one to the handle of your tote and hook the bag to your chair, keeping it off the ground. They may seem simple, but I promise, everyone around me ends up glad I have them. Everything is handy, cheap, and surprisingly versatile.
Red Light Therapy. Glasses, A New Hope for Aging Eyes by Cheryl McNeil Fisher. Red Light Therapy glasses, such as the 2025 upgraded Red Light Therapy glasses from Luckirch, represent a novel approach to supporting eye health, particularly for older adults experiencing changes in vision. But do they really work? Here's what you need to know. Anecdotal evidence and scientific backing. While I haven't personally tried these glasses, I've spoken with individuals who have reported positive experiences. Jim, who has been using them for 2 months, claims to have noticed an improvement in his vision. Mary, another user, reports enhanced definition in her surroundings after using the glasses for just 3 minutes each morning for a month. Jim's interest in red light therapy glasses stemmed from extensive research following a doctor's recommendation of a similar treatment costing $6,000 per session. After 6 months of investigation and conversations, he decided to try these glasses. These anecdotal accounts align with the science behind the glasses. How they work: energizing your retina. These glasses utilize deep red light at a specific wavelength of 670 nanometers, NMM. This wavelength is believed to energize the retina by stimulating the mitochondria, the energy producers within your eye cells. As we age, these mitochondria become less efficient, particularly in the retina, impacting vision quality. Wearing the glasses for a few minutes daily, especially in the morning, may help improve how your eyes process light and contrast. A study from University College London demonstrated that just 3 minutes of 670 nanometer red light could enhance color contrast sensitivity in individuals over 40, with results lasting up to a week after a single use. The red light is thought to stimulate enzymes in the eye, boosting energy production and reducing stress in retinal cells. What the glasses offer: comfort and convenience. The Lukerch glasses are designed with user comfort in mind and include features such as timed sessions ranging from 3 to 15 minutes, gradual light intensity increase, automatic shutoff, star-star. It's important to note that these glasses are not medical devices and are not intended to treat or cure eye diseases. Who might benefit? Red light therapy glasses may be beneficial for bullet adults over 40, bullet individuals experiencing age-related vision fatigue, bullet anyone interested in exploring light-based wellness for eye health. Important considerations. Bullet: these glasses do not treat eye diseases such as macular degeneration or glaucoma. Bullet: consult with your eye doctor before using light therapy, especially if you have light sensitivity or a pre-existing eye condition. Bullet: morning use is recommended, as evening use may disrupt sleep patterns. Bottom line: red light therapy glasses offer a potentially safe and convenient way to support aging eyes. While further research is warranted, initial studies show promise. As always, consult with your eye care professional before trying any new treatment. Learn more. Product page: https://chalukerch.com. Products: Chatur 2025. Upgraded red light therapy glasses, 670 nanometers for eye. Health and improving vision summary, UCL. https: www.uc.ac.uk/news/2021/novi. Morning exposure, deep red light, improves declining eyesight. Bullet article from Verywell Health. https://www.verywellhealth.com/rlighttherapy/glasses/right-for-me 4161293.
Calendar of events. Everyone is welcome to attend these events by accessing the Zoom mobile app, visiting the Zoom website at https://zoom.us or calling 312-626-6799 and entering the appropriate meeting ID and passcode. Subscribe to our CCLVI-info email list to receive weekly meeting reminders and Zoom details by sending a blank email to CCLVI-info plus subscribe at acblists.org. In addition, all CCLVI events except our business meetings are listed on the ACB community call schedule. Those without email can access that information by calling 1-800-4248-666 and following the prompts or typing acb.community into your web browser. All Monday and Thursday, Zoom events have the same Zoom link, meeting ID, and passcode. CCLVI Low Vision Discussion, Friends and Family. First Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, CCLVI Game Night. Second and fourth Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, CCLVI Low Vision Peer Support Group. Third Monday at 8 p.m. ET, CCLVI Speaker or Themed Chat. Fifth Monday at 8 p.m. ET, CCLVI Board of Directors Meeting. Second Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Meeting ID 829-043338-24, Passcode 784688. CCLVI, Let's Talk Low Vision. First Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, join our guests for this monthly informative program, also broadcasted on ACB Media One. The podcast of the episodes can be found at https://www.cclvi.info/. cclvi.org/letstalk. lowvision.cclvi, Table Talk. Thursday, 2nd, 4th, and 5th Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Weekly calls on a variety of topics related to low vision. CCLVI Monthly Book Chat. Third Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. CCLVI Affiliate Zoom Calls. California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, CCCLV, dash a Sunday Chat. First and third Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Spend part of your Sunday with members of CCCLV and enjoy a Sunday chat. This is a call for those of us who are blind or with low vision and any family and friends, be they near or far. Topics will range from all things low vision to life in general as a person who is blind or low vision. Low Vision Now, formerly Delaware Valley Council of Citizens with Low Vision. First Saturday at 12:45 p.m. Eastern Time, second in July and September. The monthly Zoom meeting, Low Vision Now, is open to all who have an interest in the issues of low vision. Meeting ID 440-465-3663. Passcode 2121. Kentucky Council of Citizens with Low Vision, KCCLV. Low Vision Support Calls. First Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Business Meeting. Third Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Informative Meetings for Low Vision Individuals Across the U.S. Meeting ID 8629-889-6972. Passcode 975-864. Note, topics and speakers are subject to change. Please reference the weekly CCLVI emails and ACB community call schedule.
Join CCLVI's email lists. CCLVI, info email list. This is a two-way list for members and non-members of CCLVI. Its purpose is to publish the weekly schedule of CCLVI events and to provide a place where subscribers can ask questions about low vision. To join, send a blank email to cclvi-info plus subscribe at acblists.org. CCLVI, members only email list. This is a one-way list that contains information and announcements of the annual business meeting, monthly board meetings, minutes of these meetings, constitutional amendments, resolutions, and other items that members need to vote on. To join, you will be added to this list when your annual membership dues are received. If you unsubscribe, you will not receive important information about CCLVI. CCLVI, Vision Access Email List. This is a one-way list where members receive our newsletter, Vision Access. If you unsubscribe, you will no longer receive our publication, and you will miss out on some interesting and informative articles. To join, you will be added to this list when your annual membership dues are received. Vision Access is published four times a year, February 15th, May 15th, August 15th, and November 15th, in large print and email. Vision Access welcomes submissions from people with low vision, from professionals such as ophthalmologists, optometrists, low vision specialists, and everyone with something substantive to contribute to the ongoing discussion of low vision and all of its ramifications. Submission deadlines are January 15th, April 15th, July 15th, and October 15th. Send contributions to cclvivisionaccess@gmail.com. Accessing Vision Access. Vision Access is available to CCLVI members via email and large print. Archived and podcasted issues are available at www.cclvi.org/vision-access.
Contact CCLVI, Council of Citizens with Low Vision. International, address 5401 Southern Parkway, Louisville, Kentucky 40214. Call CCLVI 502-905-0869. Between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. ET. Email lowvisionoutreach@gmail.com. Website www.cclvi.org.
CCLVI Officers and Directors. Officers, President, Patty Cox, 2024 to 2026. First Vice President, Zelda Gebhard, 2025 to 2026. Second Vice President, Terry Pacheco, 2024 to 2026. Secretary, Melanie Sin Owee, 2024 to 2026. Treasurer, Debbie Persons, 2025 to 2027. Immediate Past President, Leslie Spoon. Directors, Director Number 1, Joyce Feinberg, 2025 to 2027. Director Number 2, Kathy Farina, 2024 to 2026. Director number 3, Cynthia Hawkins, 2025 to 2027. Director number 4, Paul Lewis, 2024 to 2026. Director number 5, Diana Leonard, 2025 to 2027. Director number 6, Donna Williams, 2024 to 2026. Publications Chair, Melanie Sin Owe. Webmaster, Joyce Feinberg. Produced by the E-Communications and Publications Committees of the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. Copyright 2025 Council of Citizens with Low Vision International.